None surpass penetrating and perfect truth, is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad copies. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amish the Buddha, Amish the Dharma, Amish the Sangha. Today we're doing, celebrating the memorial service for those who have died in wartime. When we do this ceremony, we offer the merits of the ceremony, of the meditation, of the reciting of the scriptures, the merit of the whole ceremony to those who have died in wartime. We're not making a distinction or any judgments about anyone we're offering the merit for. If you think about it, a lot of the people who die in wartime are people who are doing very terrible things to other people, sometimes for no reason, seemingly other than that that's what they were very enthusiastic about doing at the time. To put it another way, when we do this ceremony, we don't distinguish between perpetrators and victims. We offer the merit for everyone who has died in wartime. I knew a person who was a soldier in Vietnam many years ago now. And that person had the misfortune to be involved in at least one of what I think were probably many massacres of civilians in a little village somewhere. This was a situation where American soldiers massacred civilians in a village in Vietnam. And this person I knew and who I liked very much was involved in that and participated in it. To what degree and in what way, I don't know. But I do know that when that person came back from Vietnam, he was a man who I would not have recognized as the person who went to Vietnam a couple years before. And this is literally the truth. Physically, I recognize him, but in personality, I did not know this person at all. And so I put this question, who needs merit more, the perpetrator or the victim? In the wider understanding of how the law of karma works, who is more injured in the committing and experiencing of horrific acts than the perpetrator of those acts? As our master used to say, there's really nothing harder than forgiving ourselves, accepting our own humanity. So when we offer the merit of this memorial service to all those who have died, for a moment at least, we are trying to be like the Eternal, which does not see beings as good or evil, which does not judge, does not condemn. Infinite love does not distinguish between perpetrator and victim, but extends itself and its help to all equally, for all are part of itself, and none is separate from itself, except insofar as we judge ourselves to be unworthy of that love and believe ourselves to be in some way outside or separate from that love. And that is the terrible burden that perpetrators carry, that what we may have done to others in word and deed, we cannot refrain from doing to ourselves when we see what we have done. Of course, it's possible for people who are victims to so hate, really fear and hate their perpetrators, that they themselves turn into perpetrators, first in their mind and then in action, words and action. It always starts in our mind. So it's not uncommon for there to be swings in a karmic stream, one lifetime with dominant perpetrator karma, another lifetime with dominant victim karma. The perpetual acting, judging, condemning that we do to ourselves. So interestingly enough, the ultimate victim of non-perceptual action is we ourselves. What we inflict on others, we inflict on ourselves. Similarly, when we can accept and forgive others, we greatly help ourselves. All of this talk revolves around the simple, inexorable functioning of the law of karma. And whenever I say the law of karma, in the back of my mind, I'm saying karma slash rebirth, because one cannot really understand how karma works till one understands that there is the process of rebirth. The consequences of our actions can carry on down through lifetimes, not just in one lifetime. But if there is a single principle of training that lies at the heart of this little talk, it's that all of these facts about karma, about the nature of action and consequence, and the way it can carry on down through the ages, is a very powerful reminder that in the end, there's one person who can keep the precepts, and that one can oneself train in the precepts. We can't do the training for the Assyrians or the Mongols or the Nazis. We can only do our own training. And in our own minds and hearts, we can be liberated through the practice and taking to heart of the precepts, the perceptual truth. We can be liberated from the wheel of birth and death, the wheel of perpetrator and victim. I cannot do another's training, nor can another do mine. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.